better than the Golden Movies are.
Yeah. And if you'd like to finish off that popcorn while I'm doing the sermon, that's fine. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to the whole house. Well, that part about light is so easy to understand. That makes sense. Have you ever had the experience of trying to get popcorn out of your teeth? Have you ever had the experience of driving at night and you see a glow in the dark, in the distance? Maybe it's even over on the other side of a hill, side of a mountain, off so far away, but you see a glow and you know there's a city there. There's a bunch of lights there. It might not be a big city, but even the smallest city, town, gives off a glow in that dark night. It can't be hidden. And sometimes you know what that town is, and sometimes you don't, but you know there's a town over there. It's kind of funny, you know, I tell you often about riding a motorcycle and riding it across the prairie, and you're out there at night and it's very lonely. But you see a light off, a shine off in the distance, you know there's people there. It's kind of a comforting feeling. So that light cannot be hid. You know that city's there. There's no way they can really keep you from knowing that. So what's that telling us? It's telling us to be the light of Christ in the world. Because when you are, that can't be hidden. People will see that. So that's pretty simple. But the salt thing, what's that all about? We all know, you know, we talk to the kids about salt losing its flavor, but we know that salt can't lose its flavor. I did some checking and I found out some interesting things about salt. Good old sodium chloride. It's extremely stable. It will not lose its flavor. It doesn't change. It's just like, it's stable. Sort of like Jesus. It doesn't change. It's just, salt does not lose its flavor regardless of what Jesus is using as a metaphor. It just doesn't do it. We know that. But since Jesus wasn't acting as a science teacher, I guess we can understand. But salt doesn't lose its flavor. So he must have been really reaching here for a metaphor. Or was he? The salt we know today is pretty good salt. Pretty pure. They refine it quite well. So when you get salt, and according to the federal government, salt for human consumption has to be something like 97.9% pure sodium chloride. Well, in Jesus' day, salt was a little bit different. They got it by two ways, and it's the way they still kind of get it today. You could either evaporate it from salt from seawater, or you could mine it out of a salt deposit. And at the time when they did this, salt had quite a few impurities in it, so there were other trace elements in there. Also, salt merchants were also known to be sort of unscrupulous. They would put things into the salt that would make it look like there was more than there was. So if you want to buy a pound of salt, we'll say, they might put a half a pound of salt in there and a half a pound of gypsum or something else. So when you taste it, it tastes salty, but you're only getting half the salt. Many times the salt of Jesus' day was so impure. It had a salty flavor, but if it were left out in the air and in the sun and in the rain, the salt would wash away. The sodium chloride would wash out of it. And you would have something left that was crystalline and white. It looked like salt, but it didn't taste like salt. And this was a real problem because one of the reasons salt was used back then was preserving food. That was one of the biggest reasons, one of the first things it was used for and predominantly used for, because they didn't have refrigeration, especially in arid areas like the Middle East, so they had to preserve their food some way, and salt was the way they did it. Well, if there was no salt in the salt, so to speak, what good was it? Not much good at all.
Jesus is warning his disciples about what, when he speaks about the salt, what he's warning them about. And this is his warning to us, because whatever he says to his disciples, he says to us, is about purity of the heart. It's about purity of the heart. The outside can look righteous. And the Pharisees were very good at looking righteous. That's why Jesus says later on, you know, be better than the Pharisees and the scribes. The outside can look very righteous. You can do this and you can do that. And people can say, well, that's a pretty holy religious fellow over there. Or gal. But inside, what's really inside? You can look like salt, but do you have that saltiness that Jesus is talking about? Later on in chapter 5, next week, Jesus will hit this point specifically when he intensifies the law. You know those parts where he says, it was said in the old days, you shall not murder, but I say to you. It was said, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you. He takes it from just an act, an outward act, to an inward thought and desire. He's wanting people to be salt inside, not just appear like salt. Jesus calls us to be that pure substance. Not the impure substance that looks like true salt, but be the true salt, the useful part. And not let our purity and our usefulness be washed away. And what if we do let our usefulness be washed away by the things of this world? And I said before about the salt, how that what they called salt, the impure stuff that they could have had, how the sun could cause it to lose its saltiness, the rain, the air, those influences upon their salt that could remove the true salt from it. That can happen to us quite easily, can't it? The world calls us to be something other than salt. And we're all subject to that. Our anger can get the better of us. Our desire for something good can get the better of us. To the point where we can do horrible things and think, even worse, think and desire horrible things inside, all the while putting on a good facade. Has anybody ever done that? Have you ever done that? Oh, come on. Nobody's going to raise their hand. Come on, folks. We're going to go Baptist here. Come on. Can I get a witness? There you go. There's one Baptist out there. She knows. Yeah, we've all done that. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Paul's done it. Paul said the same thing, right? I do not do the thing I want, but I do the very thing I hate. You know, I might seem great out here, but inside I'm not so good. If salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. In the ancient world, salt had many uses, and I alluded to one of those, the preservation of food. But of course, like us, they used it for flavor. There's nothing good about salty popcorn, ain't there? But what if salt loses its saltiness? They also used it for dyeing clothes. They threw it in a dye and it somehow fixed the dye into the clothing so it didn't run so much. The Jews used it for ritual sacrifice. All of the meat that was burned in the temple, roasted in the temple, cooked in the temple, as part of a sacrifice, had to be salted. It was a sign of the covenant between God and his people. And, oddly enough, I just found this out while researching, people would salt the wicks of their candles because it would make them burn brighter. Interesting note. But the far biggest use was that preservation. Food. This is what Jesus is, I think, focusing on here. Preservation. Jesus is saying, in essence, if you no longer are pure
inside, you've lost your usefulness. You've lost your usefulness. How can you be useful? How can your usefulness be brought back? When you've completely lost it, how can your usefulness be brought back? When you've so turned against God, how can your usefulness be brought back? Through our words and through our actions, our purity, we are called to be like that salt, to preserve the world. It's Christians who will save this world. Not through them, obviously, but you know what I'm talking about. It's we who are supposed to be the example, to show God, to show the love of God in Jesus. It's we who are supposed to make a difference. The other ones, hate to say it, they ain't doing it. Some are sitting in their temples praying to Buddha, and that's nice. They're not bothering anybody. Some are out there lopping off heads and burning people alive. Who's really preaching love? There's some nice people out there who are feeding people and preaching humanism. But who's really preaching love? Who's really preaching something beyond this world that's beautiful and wonderful? It's us. If not for us, who then? Yeah. And you know, only a small percentage of salt is really needed. A small bit of salt, you being salt of the earth in this world, each one of you, every day, is really what's needed. And salt is a wonderful thing. It can do so many great things. Do you know that salt can reduce, it's a little bitter to the taste, right? But did you know that it can actually reduce bitterness in food? It can take the complexity of food and bring it out. That's why food manufacturers love adding salt to everything. It makes everything taste better. And it doesn't cost much. It's cheap. You can make everything taste better too. And it doesn't cost much. It's easy. It's cheap. It doesn't cost you much. It costs Jesus quite a bit. But it doesn't cost you much to be the salt of the earth. We are called to flavor the world around us, to preserve it and to flavor it. We're called by our faith and practice to be an influence on others. Preserve the world. Add flavor to the world. Make the light shine brighter. Cause people something else here. If you ate enough of this popcorn, and I'll touch on this, if you ate enough of this popcorn, what would you want to do? Yeah, you'd want something to drink, wouldn't you? As the salt of the earth, it's our job not only to flavor, to preserve, to flavor, right? But to cause people to thirst for the love of Jesus Christ. To want what we have. You can't have salt without being thirsty. Jesus wants us to go out there and cause people to be thirsty for that living water. Once you drink, you'll never thirst again. I won't need any more of that because I'm starting to get thirsty myself. Therefore, be the salt of the earth. Preserve it, flavor it. Help the light of Christ to shine brightly. And before I end, let's touch again on that matter of light. We can be pure in our hearts and our actions. But too often, people are afraid to let their light shine. We really are. We think, oh, nobody wants to hear what I have to say. I don't have any words to say. I don't want to bother anybody. People will think I'm nuts. Don't worry. People probably already think you're nuts. Don't worry about it. How many times have you ever had this opportunity to pray for somebody? Have you ever seen somebody at Walmart or someplace like that? They just looked like they were struggling, maybe with their kids or something was bothering them. And you ever thought, I'd like to pray with that person. Just ask him if I could pray for you. And you've thought, no, they're going to think I'm nuts. I don't want to bother them. Maybe they're not Christian. That was an opportunity to let your light shine. That's an opportunity. God calls us to do that. You are also
because Jesus is your light and he shines through you. So salt and light. Let your light so shine. Be salty. You know, if a person rejects the light, that's okay. You did what you needed to do. You let the light shine. And maybe somebody who didn't intend to see that light, maybe they saw it. Maybe somebody had said, well, I don't want you to pray for me, no thanks. Somebody else may have said, wow, that was nice that that person went over and offered to pray for you. Like that city in the distance, even if it's not aiming its light directly at you, you see it anyway. Even the people you may not be directly aiming your light at, you'll see your light. Do not fear. Preserve the world. Flavor the world. Make it shine bright. And let your light so shine.